Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of The Tenets. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined by a very different co-host this week. Or not different, but a new full-time co-host. So Stark has not gone anywhere. He's left the house for once. He is out there getting spikes on his tires for the winter. But I'm joined here by, again, our new addition to the show, Zynode. Zynode, welcome.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. We've been talking about this on different social media channels and stuff, but haven't really had so much of a chance to formally announce it on the show. But now you're going to be joining us full time on here, so it will be the three of us, and we're not slowing down, man. Today's recording date is January 10th. We have 6 days until we know what's going on with ESO and the 2020 content. Are you excited?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Over the top. Over the top.
Right? Oh my God. This is that time of year when everyone, like, I've already seen people coming back to the game just because the hype from the community. People are coming and asking, should I buy it now? And I'm like, yeah, there's going to be some new stuff next week. And it sounds really good. So we're going to be.
If their announcement is like anywhere near as big as the Elsweyr or the Season of the Dragon was, I mean, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to jump right into this. Why don't we? The article they put up the other day. So this is on the ESO website. It's got a nice little snowy picture attached to it, releasing all the information. So if you want to go find that, elderscrollsonline.com. This is talking about the Vegas 16th Global Reveal event, which, by the way, is going to be live streamed from the HyperX Esports Arena in Las Vegas on Thursday, January 16th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. They do have the articles, fun fact, they have those articles with the appropriate times depending on your browser's region. So someone's complaining about that the other day. If you want your local time zone, apparently you can just flip your browser and it will give you an accurate location for that. So you can find your time. Yeah, you know how people are on Twitter. They're very reasonable. And someone was like, don't you care about your EU fans? Yeah. And the ESO Twitter account was like, browser will tell you the correct date. Make sure you're in the right time zone. Don't be VPNing to get it. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, good on you. Snap back.
We also have Google in 2020, and you can check time zones.
Yeah, Google itself even auto-converts them for you. I don't even think you have to go to a website for that these days.
There's one. It's a website as such. I think it might even be a small app as well. I could be wrong there. But Gina posted it to us a long time ago. It's World Buddy or something like that. That's
Buddy.
Really helpful. I think it's called World Buddy or something close to that. And you can just put in whatever time zones you want. Say, for example, I put in your time zone and mine, and it will literally link them up.
Oh, wait. Oh, I've really seen handy. This. I've been on here. Now, we need to use this. You know what, though? I screw up our own scheduling when I use this.
Me too.
So bad. I actually have you on here, by the way. I have Mountain Time in London added as my two, and I still screw it up. So yeah,
then Daylight Savings kicks in and messes everything up.
I know. That's why we're going to be diving into this whole thing throughout the rest of our podcasting career, because this is our new lives.
Yep.
Multinational time converting.
Exactly.
So for everyone that wants to tune in, that will be at twitch.tv/Bethesda, again, at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time on January 16th. That's this upcoming Thursday. And they are giving out rewards, as always. So if enough people watch, 80,000 concurrent viewers, when we hit that mark, it will unlock the long-winged bat pet as an unlockable reward for people. That should be for all platforms. So Xbox, PS4, PC, you should all get that pet. And then at 150,000 concurrent viewers, a surprise reward inspired by community submissions.
Rich is going to do a backflip.
Oh my gosh. I know. Lehman was yelling about cartwheels. I'm wondering, what are we going to get up there? I'm nervous. Actually,
a gymnastic show of the devs.
Oh my gosh, that is something to be in the room of. So Pete Hines will be joining Rich up on stage for the main event. He even tweeted out this morning how he was a little scared for whatever this community reward is.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I just like that they go about these with such a fun, I don't know, community embrace. Last year when they did Rich at Twitch HQ, they burst through that goal, I think, before the show even formally kicked off or something like that.
It was 100K almost before he'd even got on the screen. He had no idea either. He was like, oh, how many have we got? And then all of a sudden, you see his eyes light up.
Yeah.
He didn't expect it to happen. He's like, oh, shit, I've got to get a tattoo.
Yeah, that was for his big leg tattoo, which looks amazing, by the way, Rich, if you're listening.
Yeah, really cool.
That thing is killer. And they put out the video for that, too, if anyone wants to check that out on one of their YouTube channels. I think Rich has his thing where they show off the making of the tattoo and all that. But I think that's smart that they're setting the concurrent viewer count higher this year. Like, 80, they're
saying. Still going to smash it.
Oh, I think so. I think you're right. 80, you get the bat. So they're like, yeah, we know. Everyone's getting the bat. Let's just put that as the first reward, you know, get people to actually show up. And they're like, okay, 150,000. I wonder, what do you think they got to last year?
Last year they got, I think it was about 120 at most,
yeah,
something like that. They're going to smash 150 mm-hmm. because they said a magic word this year. They said the word Skyrim.
Yes.
And that just pricks everybody's ears up. It doesn't matter if you play ESO or not. If you played Elder Scrolls V, now you're paying attention.
I would actually
say. I think they're going to annihilate it.
I think you're right. I'd say that, you know, the word dragon and necromancer, those are sexy words in our community, but for the people that aren't as tuned in, you know, people, mm-hmm. when you put the word elsewhere next to it, I think you tune out some of the more casual Skyrim players.
Definitely.
Me, by the way. I was a more casual Skyrim player. I didn't know all the lore. So if you had slapped mm-hmm. elsewhere, I would be like, I don't know what that is. Maybe I don't want to play ESO right now. But you slap Skyrim next to it, like you said, whoa, now they're actually here. This is their shit.
Well, that's the thing. It's an expectation kind of jump as well, because people that played Elder Scrolls in the first place, they're like, oh, there's Skyrim online. Oh, no, it's not. And they quit. Or they didn't even try it or whatever. Elder Scrolls has been out for now, 5 years? Maybe a bit longer almost. And it's a bit longer now. It's almost 6 years.
Yeah, it's going on 6. Huh?
And the people that don't play MMOs, they hear dragon, they're like, oh, MMOs have got dragons. They hear necromancer, like necromancers are happening anyway. Mm-hmm. I still don't want to play this MMO because maybe it's not for them. And then all of a sudden they hear Skyrim and like, what? No. And then now that makes them interested. So you've got a larger part of the not yet Elder Scrolls Online community that could potentially join. So you've got the single player RPG players, and then you've got the MMO players, and they may now, more than any other time before, actually merge quite a lot. I mean, this is probably why their servers need to be bigger too, because they're probably anticipating a bit of a flood.
Yeah.
I think just that word Skyrim is enough to go and get the people that were not necessarily fully invested in an MMO to now pay a bit of attention to it and maybe consider it, especially since they keep putting it down in price and free and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if they land a trial period of this around the release or close to it, that is going to be a bit of a game changer as well. But we'll see what happens there. No telling.
I think you're very right. You know what's going to be interesting? So if they follow tradition in putting the previous year's expansion down into the DLC range, so it comes with the ESO Plus thing, it'll be interesting mm-hmm. to see if the Necromancer goes in with that, kind of like they did with jewelry crafting, if it sets aside zone class.
I think they'll set it aside like the Warden.
I think you're probably right. I think you're right. And then if you buy, probably, I'm curious, they'll probably do another big bundle. And we'll know, if this is anything like last year, the game will actually go up for sale on the 16th. Unless they, you know, step out of tradition. But last year, they let the pre-order go up that day. And you could get the bundle. And I think you had access to the horse. So,
Yes, you did. Because there was the cool horse. It was the blue one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like
like the Dromaphra type cat.
Exactly.
But it was a horse.
Yep. So,
yeah, because you could get that straight away.
If people then go in and buy the same, you know, a more modern version of last year's, if they buy that, that'll unlock for them probably everything, I would guess, from Morrowind, Somerset, elsewhere, and pre-order them the new content. So if you're out there listening and you're interested, that is likely to be on the store on the 16th.
That's a good point, actually, because they did do that last time, didn't they?
Yeah, and I feel I always they're a safe company to speculate on. I think, you know, they innovate, but they also kind of walk this tried and true path that, you know, it makes it a little accessible to tell people in advance how it's going to go. Unless, again, they change it all up and who knows? It's available today. I don't see that.
They'll do something, and I want to see if they give any spoilers out towards potential chapter physical purchases, if you know what I mean. So before they had the plaque, What the hell do we call it?
I didn't get any of the physical editions for the game before. So.
Well, this was, they used to do statues, and then this year they didn't give them away to everybody. They did give out some special ones, and then they released them on the store, and that was the tablet.
Oh, the tablets, yes.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Sorry.
And then when it came to Somerset, they obviously announced Mufala. So, I mean, maybe they'll have a new shiny toy on the desk when he's in, when Rich and that are announcing. So that would be interesting. We'll see what they've got to come for that.
Well, that is a good point, because this year, so you received a map in the mail as well. Was that right? You got one of these?
Yes, correct.
So I thought, so you and I got maps, which you're right, is a little bit different. That's not something they can so easily display on stage. Like last year, they had the tablet. They did go wider with who all they sent to this year. So like you said, we got like a collector's edition tablet. That was the Wrathstone tablet, mm-hmm. split in half. And then you're right, that did go up on sale in the Bethesda store later. I think our community is very hungry for physical merchandise. So if they decide to do that, people are going to go wild, especially tied to Skyrim.
Those maps were all the same, but different. They all lay on top of each other.
I heard there's some pictures floating around.
I posted it on Twitter a little while ago. Basically, I made some of them transparent, not uh-huh. completely, but enough to see the underlay. And I put them all on top of each other. And you could see that the only differentiation in the maps was the red markings, like the positions of these special places, whatever they represent. So that basically gave us a full map of all these points of interest. Whatever the hell they mean, I have no idea. But they do all go together. All the maps are the same.
Oh, okay.
But they all show different locations of shiny things.
We got to get into speculation territory. Let me wrap up. Let me wrap up this event, and we'll jump right into this one. I got to wrap this one up because this is a little exciting, you guys. This is a huge opportunity. All thanks to our listeners here and on Twitch and all that sort of stuff. But in the after show, so as our article reads, stick around after the big announcement for the official post show, as Jessica Folsom and Gina Bruno from the community team dive into more details from the big reveal with the following special guests: creative director Rich Lambert, ZOS dungeon lead Mike Finnegan, ZOS lore master Lehman Tuttle, ESO stream team partner Kyle Dempster Studios, and our great friend Cash from the Lore Seekers podcast.
Yes.
What? Oh my God, dude. I am stunned. And I'm going to tease, barring any sort of scheduling hiccups or anything like this post-Vegas, Cash will be joining us on the podcast. I think it's a Sunday right after. I have to check the schedule. But he will be on the next episode that you guys hear. We're going to do a big, you know, group rehash of everything we learned and everything we share. So that's going to be a blast. And then Jibs is actually going to join us, I think, about two episodes later. So those guys are already queued up. I thought it was about time, you know, New Year. We need to get out there and get our podcasting friends all on the show. And
definitely.
Sharing the hype, man. There's so much to go around. So I'm going to be on the after show there, which is going to be very exciting. It's going to be Cash and I throwing questions at the team. So if you guys have... I guess a little hard to ask for listener-submitted feedback because we don't know what it is. I would say that, but there'll be a time in the future. I'm sure Rich will join us on the show again. We'll get Mike on here again. So there'll be plenty of times for our listeners to email us and let us know their questions. But Cash and I are going to barrage him, and then Gina and I will be doing a 1-hour stream on my channel. I think it's like 2 hours afterwards, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I believe. Let me... click a link here. Yeah, it's correct. 8 p.m. Eastern time. So 5 p.m. Pacific on the 16th. Gina and I will be in a booth. Also, there's going to be some other ESO streamers from the event that will be live there. I think it is K-Pal, Alcast, and Ninja614. So
correct.
Lots to do that day. And then let's dive into this craziness, because there are some amazing stories floating around the community, ideas. You guys have probably heard them here and there, but I'm going to start off with, well, let's actually start with what you just said. So we got these maps that have these little red markers all over them. What the hell is that, Zynode? What are these entrance points, do you think, to something?
It's hard to say. I mean, each map that we have, I'm looking at it now, actually, they tend to have points of interest. And usually they're in the form of maybe world bosses or dolmens or landmarks that you have to go to and do quests and stuff. It looks like there's maybe too many for dolmens. So it's hard to tell.
I found your link, by the way. I will put that in the description for people. Yeah, we'll put that in your podcast description so everyone can click on it.
1, 2, 3, 4. See, there is enough for Dolmens because it's 4 of one description. Right? It's kind of a swirly, rotted, almost like a banner. And then the other ones are kind of a triangle with their with 3 points sticking out. And there are 3 of those. So they could be points of interest for that. They could be Dolmen type content. So some form of portal with loads of stuff going on, or maybe just an open group event, something to that effect. Or a giant badger. Could be anything.
Could be anything.
But the other 4, I'm not sure what they represent because that symbol is not something that I notice or recognize.
Yeah.
There's so many different symbols and hieroglyphs and such all over the map that don't necessarily scream the obvious to me. This one in particular.
So how many roll bosses did we get in Elsewhere? Was that 6 or 4? Oh, my brain.
Do you know what? Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. I thought it was 3 or 4.
Because it's 2 in, I think it's 2 in Southern Elsewhere, which is a DLC zone, not a full one.
Correct.
I think you're, I think it's between 4 and 6. I think
there's normally 6 with a chapter.
Yeah. So that maybe eliminates, I was going to say, could some of those be world bosses? But like you said, it would be.
If there's anything to be comparative towards Orsinium, Morrowind, Somerset, all that kind of stuff, they all had 6.
Okay. That makes sense. That sounds very, yep.
So it must be.
This is tricky.
Something close to that.
We're guessing it. Who knows what here? So one of the big ones that I've seen is people. So the end of the trailer that was announced during the Game Awards said something about the Dark Heart of Skyrim, and that made
troll.
I know that right. That tagline had people thinking Blackreach by chance, which we explore in the actual Skyrim game. However, and I'm not the lore expert, Stark probably could speak to Blackreach for actual IRL days.
Yep.
But he's not here, so you get my very janky, beaten up lore understanding. But from what I've been told, I mean, Blackreach is a Dwemer ruin, and it stretches all throughout Skyrim. So, like, there's multiple entrances to it. And I guess to be fair to it, it would be probably, if it was ever given to us in real size, about what, like four chapters worth of map, maybe? Like, it would be...
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It would be about the same size as the landmass that is Skyrim. So the idea of having an underground zone at some point...
be quite cool.
It would, and it's not unheard of, right? We've gone to Clockwork City, we've gone to Artea, we've gone off the map, if you will. Cold Harbor, obviously. So it's not like something that they're afraid to do or don't have the tools to build that sort of, you know, we're jumping off the board sort of situation. I could see that. From my own chat, I've had people say, and myself included, I've moved away from this point of view, but a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not sure I could do an entire map underground. You know, there a lot of people are looking forward to
could.
The hills of Skyrim, though. Well, so I see it both ways. Because the trailer, and if the trailer means anything, and it might not, he was looking out over the mountains, which to me was like, okay.
He escaped.
He could have escaped.
Because he was in some deep doo-doo in the old original trailers. He was fighting undead werewolves and getting his ass kicked. So we don't know where he's been.
Good point.
Underground in Skyrim, regardless of the location you've just mentioned, has some... heavy Draugr type tomb locations. Also, I can never pronounce this, so someone's gonna tell me off a book the crap out of it. But Solstheim,
yeah, you did pretty damn good.
Very far north of Skyrim, that is infested with werewolves, necromancy underground and hidden up, and also the Draugr tombs, the Nord tombs. So where's he been? Has he been somewhere around there? Has he been underground there? Or has he been under where you've mentioned already? It could maybe have been hidden or captured or whatever for God knows how long. And his visual that we see at the end is his, I'm finally out.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Or he could have been safe all along and we don't know what the hell it means.
Well, he's been drinking mead at the bar and while the rest of the world burns.
It's such a massive troll, though, because as soon as you say the word Skyrim, everybody's juices flowing. You're like, oh, my God, we're getting Skyrim. Are we, though? are we? It didn't say we're getting Skyrim. It said Dark Heart of Skyrim. So it's a story about a particular location or event around the area. So for all we know, you know those quests where you go into, say, Alaka Desert and someone sends you into a memory and you do a quest and then come back out again?
Gosh, yes, yes.
We could end up getting a tiny bit of Skyrim as a sneak peek, as part of a sneaky quest, and then you not even see it until the middle of the summer.
Man, well, okay, I got an immediate, like, this is a money question to use iNode. King, one of the many kings of pissing people off in the community that always makes me laugh. But here's the thing. Would that work well for them as a game company if they do a massive troll like that? Like, do you
see? Yeah, yeah, it would. Anticipation.
Maybe.
This is the thing. We're supposed to, if we follow suit of what ZeniMax has been doing over the last few years, if we just stick to how everything has been, we should be receiving some dungeons.
Yes.
In this update, which means we won't see any Overland anyway.
That's a good point. That's good. A very good point.
So they'll save the scenery and everything for the chapter if we're getting one. However, they have messed with stuff like that before, where the overlooking of the location has come from a house or come from the top of a peak inside of a dungeon. If you go back to Horns of the Reach.
Okay. Yeah, so that's a good point.
That was deliberately showing us some scenery from a point of view of the dungeon. And at the same time, you benefited from having the house overlook that view as well. So maybe they could sneak some stuff like that in, but we're not going to see. We're not going to see any quest or location at the moment, I don't think, unless they break the mold, in which case that's a massive curveball, and I would probably crap on the spot for it. That would be insane.
I'm very hopeful that, like, in the future, it doesn't have to be this year, but I think it has to be next. The idea, if they're going to go to a full year every year, which is I'm hit and miss on the full year thing myself, but I think if they're going to do that every year going forward, I think they've got to shift up that cycle. Otherwise, I feel the idea of we always know we're going into two dungeons in the first quarter gets a little repetitive and probably also cramps their story design, I would imagine. Like, it feels like you're writing all the stories to the dungeon, maybe.
In some respects, yes, but then some of the dungeons have still got stories that need to be continued. Like, for example, if you look at the Frost Vault and Depths of Malatar, for example, you had Thoraya's story coming out of there, and hers was left wide open from a long time ago. You didn't know what the hell was happening. And so they've still developing the characters. We're putting them in a completely different location, but then still giving us more content that is still the same type as what you originally played in the first place. So you're still getting your dungeons, but it is completely different. I think Finn mentioned it before. I don't remember which stream it was on, actually, but there was question about maybe Volunfell 2 and Arx Carinium 2 and all that kind of stuff. And the dungeons that we received were kind of the next part of it. Instead of being a part two and just duplicate the whole dungeon with some different bosses like the base game ones did, they did give us the next stage. So I don't think it would necessarily be a negative, but I do understand where you're coming from, where it's kind of, oh, we know what's coming, there's going to be some dungeons, boo. I like them, some people do, some people don't. It's a risk at the end of the day as to whether they should stick to it to keep people happy or change it to keep people happy. I mean, I guess feedback alone would be able to cover a larger area of that as far as their game plan is concerned, I guess.
Well, this ties directly into the question of what we're going to see next week, because, and I'm curious for your take here in just a second, when they first announced in 2019 what the whole year was going to be, you know, here's Elsweyr and we're doing the entire year storyline, this is what type of content you're getting, two dungeons, a chapter, two dungeons, a story DLC, and it's all going to be about dragons. At first, I was very, very excited. I was like, great, we know a whole year.
Yeah.
And as a streamer who likes to promote this game like a salesman, I was like, look, everyone, we know it's coming. This is great. There's so much content. One of the problems that I didn't know I was going to have until I had it was like in right after Elsweyr dropped and I got my Necromancer I was excited for, I got bored because like a kid who knows their Christmas gifts months in advance, I was kind of unexcited when the time actually came. When I got Scalebreaker, I might have been some of the, like the least excited about any piece of content drop on its own, because I pretty much knew and it wasn't shiny and new by the time I got it. So how do you feel about knowing an entire year in advance? Do you like it more than some spontaneity, or what do you think?
I like the idea that they weren't to give people a rough idea, but I think we did know too much. Although they did throw a curveball when they started throwing things like Sai Sahan in there out of nowhere.
Sure, yeah. That's
so
big.
I mean, they did keep back some of the surprise, which was a good thing. But I'm going to agree to some extent that too much information could make your mindset kind of stagnate a little bit instead of anticipate what's coming.
I saw, and this is all very anecdotal, again, everyone out there is going to be different that's listening to this, but there are definitely some loud voices in my chat who were not being trollish when they said, I'm bored of dragons at this point in the year. And I was like, yeah, you know, I have a little dragon fatigue too. You know, we've been fighting them for so long, as compared to years prior, where what the heck did Merkmire have to do with Somerset? What did werewolves have to do with Somerset? So tying the story together has its huge pros, obviously. They can tell a much more entwined story. But at the same time, I do wonder if they maybe, like you're saying, need to hide a little bit more during the live event, or if throwing a couple more curveballs is necessary. Maybe you don't want your dungeon packs to feel too split, though, at the same time. I was like, what if we had only gotten like Moongrave Fane and then the other one wasn't attached to dragons at all? That might have felt a little jarring.
That might be too different and then deviate from the design.
Yeah.
Especially when they've already laid out a map. Back
right.
So, go ahead. I think they have a very good way of hiding a lot of their stuff. And then here's a release. This is some cool stuff. They do have that, but I think they could probably pull back on a little bit of it to give us a bit more anticipation rather than too much information, if that makes any sense. I like the fact that we know stuff, but I think we know too much.
Yes. And both you and I, part of this that I should also add in, when I say this, especially for everyone listening, this also comes with an extra edge that Zyno and I were flown to the studio and given exclusive access. So like, we knew Southern Elsewhere was coming before I think it was confirmed to anyone else. So to be fair, I don't think at the event in January that Rich had actually said that. You and I just had the luxury of at least, you know, a couple months worth of knowledge under our belts for what that was. So I guess to be fair, maybe on the big live stage, they did hold back a little bit more. I will say, and I know you're a big dungeon guy, and I am too. I love my dungeons. I love my vet hard modes. But I, in the future, would be very up for a miscellaneous quarter of the year, kind of like, and this is before I played, but kind of like when I think housing was introduced, there was a year that broke the rhythm, that it wasn't always...
That one did, yeah. There was no dungeons in Homestead.
I'm kind of eager for that. I'm not going to lie. It's not that I want to shaft our dungeon players, but I'm just looking for that change up.
The only way they could do that is if they gave us content that was relevant in terms of weight.
Yes.
What's the word for it? Basically, there's a bucket, and if you fill it, every single time you always know you're getting a full bucket.
Yeah, like a
but
value.
If they give you half a bucket, you're gonna be pissed. So I think they'd have to fill that gap with something relevant rather than just say you're not getting no dungeons. So in Homestead they did that very well. They gave us obviously Homestead, which was huge because there was a rather large load on the system, adding all the houses and furniture and all that kind of stuff. If they did that, they would have to bring in something very substantial. And the only thing off the top of my head that I can think of that would be relevant for that, so then it wouldn't necessarily diminish the work put into potential updates in the future, is the Champion Point rebuild.
Ooh. Wow.
Because we know that that has been pending for a long time. We know nothing about it, but that is something that has been addressed and frozen, and that's being dealt with later. If they updated the entire Champion Point system instead of releasing some dungeons, that wouldn't leave a sour taste in people's mouths. But if they forced that into a chapter, that might actually remove some of the potential content that they could put in. So you see every chapter we get like a weapon skill, not weapon skill line, a guild skill line, a class, jewelry craft, and whatever. You get all these big parts added to the game. If we ended up with just updates in a chapter rather than additions, people would be pissed. But if it's a smaller DLC, I don't think they would be.
I would agree with that. And actually, it leads me to a question that's a little... it's a little opinionated of a question. Actually, very opinionated. So I noticed... First of all, disclosure that I started playing ESO in June 2018, right after Somerset launched. And again, from an outsider's perspective, just joining the community, it felt like that chapter had a staying power, a continue player rate that, in my opinion, I didn't see with Elsewhere. And I personally attribute that, whether that actually matches ZeniMax's official numbers or not. Again, I noticed people... leaving Elsewhere faster. They seem to play for maybe a month, and then our guild roster numbers started to fall off, or people fell into inactivity, you know, and we could see that statistically in game. But I speculate or question, is that maybe because Somerset had jewelry crafting and a skill line, both things which require the player to play more than Elsewhere just dropping quests and a class, which some people aren't even interested in playing. Do you kind of have any thoughts on that, even generally, Zyno?
That's possible, actually, because what I think Somerset had was a lot of different things at once. So you've already nailed down the pack. The fact that we had a skill line, had jewelry crafting, we had an entirely new zone, two zones technically, massive story. We brought back some other characters as well. There was a lot to do. Plus the visuals were very aesthetically pleasing for people that like bright colors, pretty trees, all that kind of stuff. So that was an in-your-face, stay here, you're going to like it. Plus they had a trial too as well, which is obviously great. Now, Elsewhere did have a new class, like Morrowind did. It did have a new trial, like Morrowind also did. Had world bosses and all the rest of it. And it did have a different visual to the rest of them. It didn't look like any other land. But, I mean, there's only so long you can chase dragons and to get annoyed, obviously, because they're dead before you get there, which just happens. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Before you don't know what to do next. So I do think that Somerset had a lot more to offer. And there was... more incentive for Elsewhere among, not Elsewhere, Somerset amongst players that were not too combat driven, because the jewelry crafting was something that everybody wanted.
Yeah.
The necromancer was wanted by a very large proportion of the community. But for those players that aren't interested in combat as such and just want to do the trading side of things, or even just want to alter a couple of other characters, jewelry crafting was a little bit, more useful for more players, if that made sense. Now, Necromancer is bloody awesome by all manner of sayings, but it's not for everyone. Jewelry crafting is something that everyone does kind of want. So it's difficult to have that amount of impact. I mean, they did, because Necromancer and Dragons in the same chapter. Oh my God, it went nuts. But yeah, I think it did fall off quite quickly. I don't know how they would get around that. I mean, the dragons were great. The roaming around chasing the dragons was great. But I think they need more of them. And I don't mean necessarily more than three. I mean, we've got different ones now in Southern Elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I think that's too late. I think we needed the different dragons already. And that would have given a little bit more variety rather than just the two that we had.
Yeah, that's a very solid point, because I do think the additions they made to the dragons made them a lot better. But
Definitely.
Without having I've said since the time we got to preview it that Elsewhere is just not made for me, and that's okay because Somerset was. That was my speed. I think honestly, even as a guy that only joined in the last year and a half, I still think I fall into this cadence with ESO's releases where it feels like there's a year for me and a year that's not made for me, and that's totally okay. Like, I'm a Hrothgar guy. I'm not Vardenfell. I'm Somerset. I'm not Elsewhere. So I respect that they need to add that diversity in. But even as an outsider who... Questers, you can shame me. I deserve it. I have not done the quest in Somerset or Elsewhere, so I'm a guy that just doesn't appeal to me so much. I'd rather go run dungeons and just explore the zone and get lost in just random group events. I think, and this is why I speculate jewelry crafting and all that. Jewelry crafting a guild line, you had to run around, you had to get your hands dirty, you had to do stuff like that. It took time. Whereas leveling your class to a max level just doesn't doesn't take the same amount of time.
People did it within an hour when it came out. Yeah. They didn't even know how to play the class.
I was playing my guy even kind of lightly, and I think I got him my Necro to max level in like a day of just goofing around, killing the same mob over and over again. So I'm curious if this year, I mean, we are probably, if they keep their cadence, set up for maybe a class line, or I'm sorry, a skill line, whether it's guilds. People are speculating Bard's College this year, maybe because of Solitude and things like that. Also,
Dragon Shouts.
Oh, Dragon Shouts. I could see that. I could see it also. People are like, Dragonborn class. I'm like, I don't think so, you guys. Maybe, but I don't know. I don't think so.
No, a class for it would be just overpowered as hell. It would be ridiculous. Because that, if you wanted to stay in tune with the lore, then they would just be way, way above any other class in the game. They weren't, I mean, if they were, it would be unbalanced. And if they weren't, it would be upsetting. So I think the ability to play with the Dragonborn theme or powers for all classes within reason would be quite cool. Maybe something like the vampire skill line, like two skills and an ultimate, so that it's not too overpowered. You can't just flood your bar with that kind of stuff. I mean, we'd have no idea what they would end up actually doing anyway, but they've got to sneak that in at some point.
I think you're right. I think it's interesting as we talk about it, the Skyrim is so lined up for so lined up for these secondary skill lines like guilds and things like that. So again, people are speculating maybe a Bard's College line, although without getting into this huge thing, I'd rather see Bards as a full-on class, if possible.
Yeah, definitely. If they had a Bard, it would have to be a class.
Yeah.
People would be disappointed if it wasn't.
Same
for a monk as well. You'd have to have a class for it.
So
or an unarmed skill.
So agreed. Yeah, I am with you on that one. But let's pivot over to this one, because Casual Ranger, our good friend, has been promoting this in the last 2 days just since yesterday, because, again, throwing back to earlier in this episode, remember, 80,000 concurrent viewers, we are getting the long-winged bat pet. So that got Ranger speculating. He is saying, and he has the lore to back this up, Serana from Skyrim, she is alive in this time. It is in this era that she actually goes and gets entombed, where we then meet her in Skyrim, the single player game. So Harkon is here as well, obviously. He is doing his whole Daedric thing with Molag Bal, turning them into, you know, the Daughters of Cold Harbor and all of that. So that apparently Ranger's Serana looking at an urn.
Residing?
Sorry, go ahead. What was that?
Where is Serana residing at the moment?
She would probably be in Volkahar or...
as your dungeon.
Yeah, that could... Well, boy, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Do you think we could see? I mean, this throws definitely into your territory for sure. As someone that does so much with knowing the classes and where everything stands skill line wise, we've been discussing as a community the idea of vampire overhauls. Do you think we're doing?
Well, this
for
is
one?
The thing. I personally don't think there's anything wrong with a vampire skill line. And basically, on what I mean by that is, yeah, of course, a couple of things are a bit broken. They're quite strong, but. When people saw the werewolf DLC, their instant Captain Obvious idea was, oh, we must be getting vampire stuff. No, the werewolf needed changing a long time ago.
Yeah.
So that got done. The vampire doesn't really need changing, but if they are going to rework it, this would be the perfect time to do so. And I think they probably will at some point, because Mist Form is broken as hell in so many places. So I mean, if they were going to do anything vampire-based, introducing the long-winged bat pet to then encourage the fact that Serana is alive and she could be part of the story and all the rest of it, that would lead straight up to it. With it being the dark heart of Skyrim as well, we don't know what that technically means, but anything dark-based, you can go undead, Daedra, vampires, blah, blah, blah.
Plus vampires love hearts and blood and all that, yeah.
Exactly. It looks like it could be leading down that way.
It would be very interesting. I mean, so here's the other thing. Again, I said Elsewhere wasn't made for me, but the Necromancer class was. That's my everything,
Sure. Everything
I've wanted to play. But they did not come in with any accompanying spooky anything. And I think, I know.
Dude, you gotta do the quest.
What?
You've got to do the quest. Oh, you've got to do it.
I know. There's Eurexia's necromancer, and I do need to do that. So to be fair,
no,
there is...
No.
Oh, different?
I can't give you spoilers as such, but Cadwell is more of a badass than you think. You've got to do the story.
I do know. That has been spoiled to me. I've heard. So... But I guess here's what I'm saying. So you're right, and I need to set the quests aside because there are spooky things in the quests. But
okay.
I think when people think necromancy, at least as Elder Scrolls has presented it to us thus far, I don't really think we got that. And now I'm wondering if they're trying to give us or might be giving us something that kind of maybe feels more that speed. You know, there were some crypts and elsewhere that had the necromancy going on, right? There's the... big Acropolis or whatever. But I'm wondering now if this is the year where they're trying to get some of that back. Because for those that didn't do quests, the Necromancer maybe felt like it existed in a vacuum, in a bubble, that the rest of the game wasn't working with it. So I could see them being like, okay, we did a nice Sahara-style year, you know, out there in the plains with the cats and all that. And now we're going to go up to Skyrim, which is already, I think, a little inherently spooky, maybe. You know, it's got the trees going and the fog, all the Auroran lights there. So I don't know. I think this could be a good year for vampires if they do that. And it would fit Darkheart, like you said.
If they do, I mean, yeah, that would actually fit in very, very well. That would be the perfect excuse to do it.
I think so. But gosh, honestly, man, if we get a Blackreach that winds up being this big Dwemer ruin underground, I'm not going to be upset about that. Like, I am in for exploring that. It's supposed to be hard. So here spins off another question I have for you.
Do I want to race?
No, I don't believe that. No, I don't see that ever happening. Didn't Todd even get up there and say never?
Never say never. We got told we're never having dragons.
That's true. You are right. Yes, that is true. But here's a question. With 5 years of experience under their belt since this came out, about five, what do you think about a really well-planned out new version of Craglorn coming into the game, a dungeon zone, and maybe it being Blackreach styled themed?
I want... Oh, so you mean like Craglorn was, except the new
better.
Zone.
But much better. Because Stark has
I've been stabbing at this for ages, and I keep using the hashtag make Craglorn great again.
Because
it's dead central. It was one of the most dangerous places in the entire game pre-1 Tamriel, and now it's a joke. It's just a power level fest for players that want to be really bad at the game. So, it's got so much content, and it's been ignored. So I would love to see that revisited. But in the same sentence, if you're talking about an entirely new zone, equivalent of what they used to be, and maybe at the same time, maybe they could rework it too, then I would definitely be up for that. I think it had like, I never get this right, 16 or 18 delves or something stupid. There's absolutely tons in there. And they're not small ones either. They're massive. Proper bosses, stories, daily rewards, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'd definitely be up for that. Something on the scale of Orsinium or Craglorn with massive amount of content in them. So give Overland some fear rather than just only for solo players or people that are just steamrolling over stuff that's in the way.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking. So to clarify, no, I'm not. Well, I mean, I'd be up for them going back to Craglorn and rehashing it. But I am thinking what you're saying, the latter point of what if Blackreach, this very hard to traverse Dwemer ruin sort of thing, actually becomes added in as this very multiplayer centric thing. As Stark has talked to death on the show, he's explained it so very well to us, what he perceives to be the issues with Craglorn, things where they hadn't fully worked out the phasing mechanics. It was very easy to get disjointed from your friends in a quest and then not be able to proceed without them. Like, he's talked to us about all the mechanical issues with it that, again, they have had 5 years to learn and grow from. And I would be so excited personally to get a challenging zone back into the game. We love our single players out there, but it is an MMO and we do need some challenge.
Correct. We don't just want to be stuck in instances all the time, and that's the only time you find hard stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, granted, some of the world bosses now, the newer ones, Fair and Southern Elsewhere, they are actually quite challenging, but they can still be soloed.
They can.
The dragons are challenging. They can also be soloed if you're good enough, if you're paying attention to the mechanics. Now, not by everyone, of course, but you want something that is deliberately designed throughout the entire Overland to be difficult and challenging and encourage group play. because massively multiplayer online should promote massive groups of people. And the only place where that really happens is Cyrodiil.
And this is, again, I want to emphasize this because I always get some pushback on my live streams. This is not to isolate out our single player fan base. This isn't to, you know, make it hard on you guys. In fact, we know you like single player by your very nature, and I understand that. But at the same time, both Zynode and I run these really welcoming communities that are like, come on, we will take you to do a thing. Like, yeah, you say the word. I mean, Rich was running community dungeons with us late last night. Like, we were just taking people through that have never got to do whatever. The community is ready to grab you and take you through what you want. So I think a zone like this, like you said, that re-toughens, makes the overworld hard. And like, but it needs to be more than just dragons. Because to me, dragons, again, exist in that vacuum. It's like, as long as you don't touch them, the world is easy. But if you touch them, they die, you get your reward, it impacts nothing else in the gameplay, and you're on your journey. I think if they're going to do a Black Reach, which is notoriously hard in the lore, why not make that a huge-ass Dwemer ruin?
So much single-player content, we're not missing any.
It's true.
We've got loads of 4-man content. We've got loads of 12-man content. We've got Cyrodiil up to 24-man content. Plus, you've got the PvE elements of that as well. You've got so many different things for people to do if they want to. The one thing that we are missing that we used to have once upon a time is a challenging overland, if you like, endgame zone. We don't have a zone that is designed to be difficult for those players that want to be in a mass group and have difficult content. It's all instance-based. And I think that's something that is nice to have, but I think it's overshadowing the point of an MMO as a whole. And I think that we should have at least one dangerous as hell, get your mates together and pray zone.
Oh, dude, and with some of the tech they learned from the dragons, having them be able to fly into combat and stuff like that.
Definitely.
Who knows what they could do? I mean, could you imagine like they could have those Dwemer balls, those little spheres doing all kinds of crazy stuff, rolling into fights, maybe even some real roving packs of like tough mobs down there that are, you know,
roaming world bosses and stuff like that. And I mean, like raid difficulty.
Oh, man.
Proper tough stuff. EverQuest stuff.
Oh, that would be... I mean, we might just... there is a high probability Zynode and I are speaking to an audience that doesn't... they're not as big as what we perceive. But and ZeniMax may not do anything that we're saying. But this
they might not.
Pipe dream, maybe, but I want it, man. I really need this. Like you said, I mean, there's so much that's accessible to a brand new player. And that zone guide that they introduced 2019...
That was an awesome touch. That was
stellar. The only thing I would like them to tweak is add an option for people to go through step by step as the lore is historically given, you know, like the actual zone 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, just so the people that want that could do it. But it's so good. I love telling new players. I'm like, hit that. You're on your way. It's going to point you to the quest. And they freak. They're like, oh, my God, I had no idea the game's going to tell me how to. And it's really good. Like you said, it really is nice to have that content that people can hop into, and they don't need all their friends to be online for it. They can get lost in the story. But at the end of the day, we talked 15 minutes ago, what keeps people playing the game? How do you keep people around right after a launch? I personally think it's communities. I think people come back for their friends. I think in an MMO, if you say, well, you're just here to check this box every day, that's not a compelling reason. Like, I need to log in so I can get my login daily. How long does that last solo? Like, when you're on your own?
That doesn't last very long solo. I personally don't even keep up with that anymore.
Right?
I don't. I can't. I mean, granted, I'm on 6 different servers anyway, so that would be pretty tricky to log on to every single one every single day to always make sure I get the reward. Yeah, that's a long time. But even on my main server, I don't pay that much attention to the daily rewards anymore. I can imagine, obviously, for a solo player that never actually talks to anyone ever, that would be quite helpful because you've got your food and your potions and all that good stuff. They are beneficial, but it stagnates really quick.
It does. And so, interestingly, I mean, we're really going all over the place, but interestingly, the rewards have been a bit lackluster since I think Elsewhere itself dropped.
They have been, when we first got the rewards, it was like, here's a pet, here's multiple boxes, here have loads of flame crates, this shiny bear or whatever it is. And now it's like, and there was also 100k gold, which is fair enough, no one's going to sneeze at 100k gold. And then another one I saw, the last reward was 5k alliance points.
Yeah.
I can get that taken over a keep. In fact, I can get a lot more than that taken over a keep. That is something that can happen in seconds. That's not a good reward.
I looked at last December, you know, with the new life. We got two exclusive hats and a Guar mount last year. And did we get anything as a costume or a collectible this last December? Because I don't think we did. I can't remember last month's rewards already, but that's maybe the problem. They were so, this is fine, that I don't even
remember.
There
was a pet. There was a pet in the box.
Oh, right. They did do the box. That's a good point. They did do
the box. But that was a bit of a middle finger, too, because you couldn't all get the same one, could you?
No, you got one of the three.
There was three, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you got one, you couldn't get the others because you only got one. So it's not something that you could even collect. And that's going to mess with people's OCD because if you know there's a collection, you want them all.
That's right.
And you're cock blocked. You can't get them all.
That's so true. Collectors get so upset about that sort of thing. Understandably so. I get it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I got to say, man, the one thing I'm really hoping for, and you heard me preach this at ZeniMax last year, is I'm looking forward someday. I think they're going to do it someday. We need a guild overhaul, in my opinion. Focus back on the community here and there where they can. Just some things that need touched up, modernized. I'm praying for a guild bank. I'm praying for a guild bank that works, that lets us customize tabs for newer players versus, like, you know, high tier members in the guild. I'm also... I'd love to see some actual guild questing come into the game, or incentivization, again, to get back to questing and grouping together, not all in a
so
vacuum.
So like guild XP?
I don't know if that... I could see it. I could definitely see wanting that. As a guild leader, I know World of Warcraft tried that. They tried it and abandoned it rather quickly, as far as I remember. But I think if someone's going to do it right, I think ZeniMax could nail... guild stuff. The whole community is built around the community.
The one thing we need for guilds at the moment, and this is, in my opinion, something that could easily be implemented, but I would regard as work in progress since we've only recently got the advert tool, if you like, where you can advertise your guild. Mm-hmm. We need an actual search bar where you can put in the guild name.
That is true. That is
because
very
so
true.
Many people try and find all these different parameters boxes and they can't find the guild they're looking for. How many people have the name of the guild they want, but they can't find it? And this is coming from someone that's got six guilds on six different servers. And I do have an advert on every single server so people can join. A lot of them can't find it. And it's not because I haven't got the right buttons selected. It's because one slight mess up, they won't find it.
That is
so
what
you just need to do is have a search bar, type the name, bam, there you go, you're in. As an additional feature.
Yours is 100% doable. I think they should absolutely do that. I think they need that to come through. And I hope that's not considered one of their really big overhauls. Like, that should be simple, I would imagine.
It should be.
That should come out with the launch of it. The one I would like to see, and I think they could do this, but this would be a little harder. Hide it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, hide?
So, you can't have... a tabard on and show your guild name and hide the tabard unless you have a costume on.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
If you have your own armor that you've designed and you don't want to show the tabard, do you want to show your guild name? You can't do it.
Well, that's very interesting. I didn't think about
that. So that messes up your design of your character.
Oh, goodness. I could go on with all these little ones forever, for sure. Oh, my God, because I do want that, too. You're right. I was going to say, I would like some customizable zones in that application. Things that we could change some of the check marks and things like that here and there, like what we want. Because what the tools that they give are nice, but they're not really applicable to what I, as a streamer, am looking for from people applying to my guild. And so I run an offsite, you know, a Google form that people submit. And that, so we don't even really use the in-game one, which is, I feel sad because I was really hyped. But I was like, okay, playtime, you know, average, or like when the guild's usually online, that's a neat tool. What do? Are you traders? Are you casual players? Are you a mix? That's cool. But then, you know, there's other questions that I want my people to put in there. Like, what's your Twitch username? Because that's how I know everybody. So we usually make a note in their, you know, we put a note on their account name just so we know.
Yeah.
And we don't have any like free spaces in that guild finder tool to actually do that. You know, it's very predefined parameters, which is probably much easier on their server side, so I get it. But you know, more Guildmaster tools, I think, all around is the big question. Now, I can share this because this was on stream, but Bobby came by the stream. This was probably sometime last year. And he had mentioned that they were already looking into, at the time, giving new icons to roles within guilds, because he was just pinging my chat, kind of asking, like, what do you guys want to see? Like, are there any that are helpful? Kind of just describe that we have a treasure chest and something else, can't remember it. And it's a very obvious looking icon. We're like, we need more of those. Give us things that are easily identifiable, not, you know, the little triangles with hoops through them and stuff like that. So that,
yeah, because nobody knows what that means.
Right. I mean, it leads me to think maybe they were already looking into some guild refreshes here and there with stuff. So
I think that they should and probably will be expanding on it, because they don't tend to just alter one tiny thing of a feature and then just leave it. They do tend to elaborate a bit more on it later. So I don't think we've seen the end of it. I think there's going to be some more stuff coming.
I'm excited. Well, we're kind of here towards the end of the episode. So I will throw out one other idea that people had. We're going to keep this one really short because I don't know too much about it. But, well, I guess there's two, technically. Briar Hearts are ones I skimmed over. Some people think in Black Heart of Sky or Dark Heart of Skyrim might have something to do with Briar Heart. People are obviously in the community very excited someday to see more of Winterhold before it was destroyed. So the College of Winterhold, I should say. Well, the whole town. So, you know, that's something people want. And then Stark, who was chatting with us very briefly, mentioned the ever continuous idea of both spell crafting, and he mentioned this one, rune and one-handed. So people using like what, a spell and a dagger or a sword?
Yeah, a one-hand weapon, and like, you know, some games have like a wand and a book.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
That's very popular in Skyrim. I often do a spell blade, or, you know, in Oblivion, whatever, you know, one fire spell or ice spell, and then I get a sword in the other hand. So I would love that, actually, depending on what it is or how it would work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But well, people are anticipating weapon skill lines and
spears,
new classes and all this kind of stuff. I think this one has been a hot topic for a while, and every single update that we have, there's going to be a rather large part of the community talking about, are we getting this? Are we getting this? Because it is anticipated.
It is. Why don't we do this to wrap up? So I will say, I think this year, I'm going to give my speculation, six days in advance of the announcement, Casual Rangers won me over, mainly due to my own bias. Like, I just want vampires. I want a spooky thing of lore. So I'm going to say,
it looks positive. It looks like it could be.
My hope, give me something vampire related. Maybe those little red marks on the map are vampire caves that are really big and notorious. Who knows? I'm going to say it's something vampire related. I'm going to say maybe we get a skill line redo for vampires. Not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I could see that. I'm not sure what a standalone skill line would be. I think if we get solitude, we could see bard stuff. I already explained it. I'd rather have a class, but I could see that. And then I am going to go in and say, you know, hey, if we're doing vampire cults and clans, maybe this is the time we get a big guild overhaul. It's about time. That's my speculation as best as I can think of it. What are you thinking, Zynode? What are you thinking or wanting in particular?
I am thinking of something more. No, it's still coming to the same category because it's still affecting the base game.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the, we'll quote, bugs, and I'll use that term ironically, in the champion points. I've seen what looks like tinkering, and I want to know what they're doing.
I've
seen a lot of stat changes, which are visible to everybody. Some people pay attention to it, some people don't. I've seen a lot of stat changes in gear and values for certain bonuses and buffs and debuffs that are kind of consolidating. I want to know how long until we have an update to the champion points, how they're going to affect the game, and are they actually going down the road of consolidating points and stats to make hybrids a full-out 100% viable option for pretty much everything.
Ooh, man. Okay. Wow, that's big. That
I want to see what they're doing. If they as soon as Rich is on stage, if he says champion points, I'm going to shit on the spot.
Okay, you heard it here. Don't be watching the side note at his house. Please also be watching.
I won't be streaming. I'll be watching.
Laptop in the bathroom, sir. That's what you need on
that's
the
exactly
toilet.
What's going to happen.
So okay, well, we also have the one last thing I should point out that Ranger hyped up. Pete Hines is getting up on stage. Pete Hines did not join Rich last year. That makes Ranger think whatever we're getting, regardless of all of our speculation, it is going to be bigger than elsewhere, yeah, like you
humongous.
Said.
If he's on stage, it's going to be humongous.
Yeah, they're not flying him out there to get up in Vegas for no reason. So this is, I think this is it, man. I think this is going to be great. So to everyone out there listening, I guess my ask of you is, as always, be super welcoming to our new players. I'm sure on the 16th, it will be a delusion of people in there. So be helpful. Help answer questions. I always love, like, Zynodes, my guy. I shoot everyone over to him for build. Like, just kind of be wary. Be not wary. That sounds bad. Be alert. Be ready to help. Be ready to give people good advice and, you know, let people explore on their own terms, because that's what this game is all about. It is our welcoming community that wins us so many new players every year that come back, and they always rave how welcoming and open-minded our community is, that we accept all kinds and do all that good stuff. So be ready for it. Zyno, why don't you tell us where people can find you in the next whatever on the internet before we get back here and read
Google.
The word. Google Zynode. There's an easy answer.
Yeah, you can actually. Zynodegaming.com is where my website is. That has been completely rebuilt. It's got all the guides on there for builds, all about mechanics for dungeons, trials, and arenas. All that kind of stuff is there. Loads and loads of information on there, so definitely check that out. You can find me on Patreon /Zynode, where you can basically interact with me personally or with the private side of the community that will pay for perks and have shinies, but I won't give too much away there.
Yeah.
YouTube /Zynode Gaming, and of course Twitch /Zynode. There are other links as well for Twitter and Facebook, but they're all linked on all the pages anyway. So any of those and you'll find pretty much everything,
and we'll have it all. You're since you're now on here full time, you'll be in the show notes and the description, so everyone can find everything. And the new website is looking really good, my dude. I love
Thank
that
you.
That's great. I also love I'm on your support the site page. I like your BE3 picks up there from the VIP thing. That's great. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you're going again, but I am really going to make an effort to do E3 this year, so not sure if that's in your cards, but I'm gonna try. So
too sure yet. We'll have to see how finances work around time.
Not
but
like
if
you and
I can
don't
make
talk.
It, then I would love to go again. Oh, it was awesome.
I know that would be really, really fun. So throughout this meantime, like I said, this is a good time to remind people the schedule's gonna be wonky this week. I fly out to Vegas on Wednesday, so I am thinking you guys will get this on Sunday. You're probably listening to this on Sunday the 12th. I will probably be live Monday the 13th. That's twitch.tv/Kyle Dempster Studios. Tuesday, maybe no stream. Wednesday, no stream unless it's mobile. Thursday the 16th, again, reminder, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. That is the global kickoff reveal. I'll be on stage with the gang there right afterwards. And we'll be doing a stream on my channel following that. And then, again, probably we're staying in Vegas till the 18th, so I'm expecting some little mobile streams. Probably all short, though, so make sure your notifications are turned on. Twitch, Discord, Twitter, maybe even. I'll post out on all of those. But I would expect all of those streams to be about an hour or less, since it's using up all that mobile data. And reception be damned, I'm sure. So that's the place to go. KyleDempsterStudios.com for all the rest, links, buyer's guides, information on ESO, the guild, many other options there. And Twitter is twitter.com/KyleDempsterStudios. We will be getting Stark on again in the next episode, as well as our good friend Cash from the Lore Seekers podcast after he's been up on stage there as well. So we look forward to seeing you guys in the next one. Until then, enjoy your journeys across Tamriel, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.